Why, hello everyone. This is Steven Schinder of Yes Shift. I almost said one of the other things I'm involved in, funny enough. I'm giving this StreamYard thing a try from my end, seeing how it's going. I'm trying to see. Okay, I can hear myself there. Just exit out of that. But yeah, this is a news episode. There's a lot of news to go over. A lot of it is touring related, pertaining to Asia and Yes. And sorry, I'm just like looking at these other channels, making sure that the controls are working right. I've never done this by myself from my end, so I'm trying to get in the habit of it so that this is broadcasting on both YouTube and Facebook. Okay, it looks like it's live there. And yeah, there's a lot to cover on this. One of the things, even just today, there was Cruise to the Edge lineup news. I'll get to that in a little bit. There's some Asia lineup news, and as well as an upcoming tour and some shows and stuff. And of course, there is Yes touring. No spoilers regarding their set list. They've had their first gig on the current leg of the tour. If anything, I might say the set list at the very, very end, the very last thing on this show, and there will be a fair warning. But they're also going to tour with Deep Purple for some US dates later in the year. So that'll be quite fascinating. That'll be much later in the show. And in the meantime, tell me where you're watching from. Gilly Good News says new Deep Purple single drops today, April 30th. That is a whole comment. Okay, yeah, that's news to me. So April 30th in Sydney. Interesting. I don't think I've come across that, actually. Gosh, there's like so much to cover. But yeah, that's really cool to hear. I'm just scrolling down on their page. And okay, yeah, there's a new song that I guess is titled Question Mark, if I'm reading this correctly. Okay. So yeah, from where I'm reading, it says tomorrow at 4 p.m., BST/5 PM CEST/11 AM EDT on YouTube. So people can keep an eye out on that. And let me just go to my notes and see what else there is. So first off, I want to acknowledge the recent passing of Mike Pinder the other day. He was a keyboardist in the Moody Blues for a while, up until the late 70s, after which Patrick Mraz replaced him. So this was the announcement. I saw this on John Lodge's page. Mike's family have asked us to share the message below with you all. All the love possible goes out from the Lodge family to Mike's family today, RIP. Mike Pinder, musician, father, cosmic philosopher, and friend. Michael Thomas Pinder died on Wednesday, April 24th, 2024, at his home in Northern California, surrounded by his devoted family. Michael's family would like to share with his trusted friends and caring fans that he passed peacefully. His final days were filled with music and circled by the love of his family. Michael lived his life with a childlike wonder, walking a deeply introspective path which fused the mind and the heart. He created his music and the message he shared with the world from this spiritually grounded place. As he always said, keep your head above the clouds, but keep your feet on the ground. His authentic essence lifted up everyone who came into contact with him. His lyrics, philosophy, and vision of humanity and our place in the cosmos will touch generations to come. So, yeah, if you were a fan of Mike, feel free to share your memories of him. Did you ever get to see him perform? And yeah, you know, gone but never forgotten. So, yeah, I'm just looking at my notes once again. But yeah, we've been losing these musicians. Of course, as they get higher up in age, and it's really sad when it happens, but we got to do what we can do to remember them. So, like I mentioned, today there was also Cruise to the Edge news. Today, and I think on Friday, they were announcing the lineup for that upcoming cruise, which will be from April 4th to 9th. And the name slash theme of this upcoming cruise is Fuego del Caribe. So the lineup will include Dave Cureton, Gazpacho, Saga, Trifecta, Leprous, Pendragon, Beardfish, Magic Pie, Kairos, Caligula's Horse. I actually saw them in February and they were so incredible. Yeah, really cool to see Seahorse on the cruise. Then there's also Thank You Scientist, The Begg Sisters, Lauri Basilio, Von Herzen Brothers, Car Mechanic, Haken, The Aristocrats. Dad has interviewed the drummers of both of those bands, Marbin, Steve Hackett, and Temek. So that's what's been announced thus far. And I'm not sure if this is the entire lineup. For all we know, there might be more announced. But yeah, you can go to cruisetotheedge.com and they'll keep on updating as they go, I'm sure. But yeah, it sounds like an exciting list of artists and bands and whatnot. We were trying to see if we could have our correspondent get some footage from the cruise, like little interviews and whatnot, like the cruise from this year. But yeah, that almost happened. But then there was something that came up that made it like so like the interviews weren't able to happen. So I don't know, maybe something like that could happen in the future. But I don't know what we'll just have to see. So, but yeah, I'm really excited for those who will be able to go on this cruise. It's always exciting to see the artists you love, as well as some new artists, or rather people who might be unfamiliar to you. And a lot of these names I'm not familiar with, but hey, it could be a good showcase of a lot of different variety. So I mentioned Steve Hackett there, and it's nice to see that he's going to be on that cruise as well, the one next year. Dad almost saw him in Phoenix. The show was supposed to happen, but it got canceled due to a little complication. Dad and the audience were told that Steve was feeling a little ill, and he felt sorry and is hoping to come back to Phoenix as soon as possible. He says he's had a bronchial infection and a last-minute adverse reaction to medication. Steve recovered in the hospital, and yeah, he'll try to return to Phoenix as soon as possible. And yeah, I'm really glad that Steve Hackett is, it turned out well. Yeah, maybe Dad will be able to see his band perform at some point in the future, and we'll just keep an eye on that. But yeah, I gotta admit, we were like really scared when that cancellation happened. We were worried about Steve, but glad to see that he is back up and doing his thing. Speaking of Hackett, there's gonna be a re-release of A Life Within a Day, the Squacket album that Steve did with Chris Squire a while back. So this is a CD and Blu-ray, and it's coming May 31st on Cherry Red Records. So yeah, for those who maybe want a new copy or didn't get it the first time around and would like a copy, this might be your shot. There was also a Play for Chris 10 announcement from Miguel Falcao, also known as Miguel Bass. You can find the announcement at miguelbase.com as well as on his YouTube channel. But yeah, this has been an annual tradition. Ever since Chris's passing, people have submitted tributes, and not just bass tributes. You know, it could be any instrument. It could involve singing along to songs that, you know, we associate Chris with. People can even do, you know, spoken words, like have something written out as a tribute to Chris even. And yeah, we're gonna have Miguel on Yes Shift over on May 7th. I'm just double checking the time so I have that correct. Yes, May 7th, 8:30 a.m. Pacific US, 11:30 a.m. Eastern US. And so that would be, let me think, let's see, I believe that's 4:30 p.m. UK time, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it is. So yeah, that should be a really fun conversation. Billy Sherwood also made a really nice, lengthy tribute post to Chris Squire. It's very moving, and you just gotta appreciate that he's, you know, honoring Chris and continuing to, you know, like really do him proud as he tours with Yes. Billy also was on the recent cruise to the Edge with Dave Kurzer's band, and apparently they played the song Don't Look Down from Arc of Life. So really cool stuff. And there was a recent Mirror to the Sky limited 2 CD Blu-ray digipack. So I'm sure some have gotten their hands on that. And on April 20th was Record Store Day, and there was something for Yes, a vinyl of a previously unreleased full performance from the Yes album tour in 1971, recorded at Yale Bowl in New Haven, Connecticut on July 24th, 1971. This limited edition LP features raw performances of classic tracks I've Seen All Good People, Yours Is No Disgrace, and more. So I have the track list for that right here. On side A, you've got Yours Is No Disgrace and I've Seen All Good People. And then on side B, you've got Clap and Classical Gas. So you got Steve Howe solo pieces there. And then Perpetual Change. So it's really interesting. I wonder if that's all that's available from that show. Interesting. Yeah, I wasn't able to go out and get a copy. I'm sure I had a lot of stuff going on that day. It's been a really busy time recently. But yeah, it's okay. Yeah, I do remember what was happening that day. Okay. Yeah, we had recent Drum Talk TV stuff, which I'll mention in a little bit. But yeah, if you got that record, you know, that vinyl on Record Store Day, let us know how it is. So I also saw today a post from Doug Curran saying that he found a copy of a, I believe it was Prog magazine, at a local Barnes and Noble, and includes an article about Tales, you know, from Topographic Oceans. So the cover of this says, 10 years of Prog magazine, the best stories from the first decade of Prog magazine, featuring Pink Floyd, Yes, Marillion, Genesis, Rush, Stephen Wilson, King Crimson, ELP, and more. And you've got the classic images of, you know, the armadillo on Tarkus, a snake from Relayer, the face on In the Court of the Crimson King, and the gentle giant face, and there's some Rush and I believe, yeah, Pink Floyd representation. So interesting. I'll have to see if I can find a copy of this, perhaps. And on the Kansas front, because, you know, Tom Brislin, he's been playing with Kansas, of course. It looks like there's been a little bit of shuffling in the live personnel. Kyle Henderson filled in for bassist Billy Greer. And then later there was this announcement of Zach Rizvi rejoining the band, you know, guitarist. He rejoined the band on tour starting on April 26th in Morristown, New Jersey. He was a member from 2016 to 2020, performed on, co-produced, and wrote many of the songs for the albums The Prelude, Implicit, and The Absence of Presence, and also appeared on the live albums Left Overture Live and Beyond and Point of No Return Live and Beyond. And then, more recently, bassist Dan McGowan of the band The Tea Club was announced to be filling in for Billy Greer at the concerts in Morristown on the 26th, Lancaster, Pennsylvania on the 27th, and these upcoming ones, Rochester, New York on May 2nd, and Toronto, Ontario on May 4th. So interesting stuff right there. I'm trying to see, I'm like so into like going through my notes on this. I realize I need to share this video around. Okay, I see the video right here, so I can do that. Just give me a moment. Just sharing this into groups. Writing out the caption. Okay, I'll just copy that. And yeah, thanks for tuning in, folks. I'll be back to the next news item in just a moment. Okay. All right. So next on the dock, we've got some Wakeman related stuff. So Oliver Wakeman, I'm sure as a lot of you know, we were able to have him perform and tell stories and do a Q&A over for Drum Talk TV Brilliance. So some of that performance is available on the Yes Shift and Drum Talk TV socials, and the entire thing, including the Q&A where fans were able to ask him some interesting questions, that's archived, or is going to be archived soon, on the Drum Talk TV Brilliance website. So if you're interested, go to drumtalktvbrilliance.com and register, become a member, and you'll be able to get notified on and participate in upcoming live concerts and Q&A sessions that we'll be putting up. And there's also game shows. We actually did our first one for Drum Talk TV Brilliance this past weekend. So yeah, there's an Oliver performance on April 20th. And yeah, he's been a very busy fellow. I think the weekend before that was when he did the Winter's End concert. He made this post where he said, "Well, our headline show at Winter's End has come and gone. It seems a bit of a blur, but I was so proud to have Haley Griffiths, Oliver Day, Scott Higham, Dan Nelson there on stage with me to perform material from Onam Kara and From a Page. What a band. A full write-up coming soon." And I'm not sure if I missed this write-up or if maybe it's still in the works, but yeah, I'm really cool that that was able to happen, you know, From a Page performed live, to my knowledge, for the first time. And Scott Higham, the drummer, he's actually going to be interviewed for Drum Talk TV, and that'll be on May 21st, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, 5 p.m. UK time. That will be available on socials. So yeah, that'll be a really cool, another cool thing to look forward to. Let's see. And Oliver added, "I'm certainly very proud of the band. I'm hoping that we are going to be able to do merch shows together, as I enjoyed every minute working with them all." Yeah, and again, Onam Kara, Oliver's new solo album, which he talked a bit about on the Drum Talk TV Brilliance performance, as well as on a recent interview with him. And he's even been putting out these song-by-song videos. Those have been going around on socials. That's coming out on May 10th, I believe. And you can find that on Burning Shed. Dad and I have our copies pre-ordered, so we're very much looking forward to listening to that and providing our review of it. So that'll be a lot of fun. And speaking of Wakemans, Adam Wakeman has been guesting on a Uriah Heep tour due to Phil Lanzon having family commitments. And this is a joint tour with Saxon. I believe it's called the Hellfire and Chaos Tour, if I remember correctly. And Nigel Glockler, the drummer of Saxon, he was actually on Drum Talk TV recently. Dad was able to interview him. And at some point, they talked about, he talked about like working with Steve Howe during the interview. And, you know, I got to say hi to Nigel afterward. And yeah, I remember he said great things about Benoit David, you know, being able to perform certain songs when he was with Yes. So yeah, that was a really cool conversation. And not only that, but Adam Wakeman also has a couple Jazz Sabbath dates coming up. And this really piqued my interest when I saw that, because we've heard clips here and there and they sound really good, but I saw that they're going to be in Los Angeles on, yeah, so this is, these tour dates are from June 11th through July 27th, and they're about, okay, so the first couple dates on here over at jazzsabbath.net, they're performing in Los Angeles at the Catalina Jazz Club on June 11th and June 12th, and then from July 20th to 27th, they'll be in Australia. So they'll be performing at the Ellington Jazz Club. Looks like they've got two shows there on the same day, on the 20th. And then the Old Museum in Brisbane on the 24th. Pleasure Club on July 25th and 26th in Sydney. And then ending that run with Brunswick Ballroom in Melbourne. So maybe the Australian fans will be able to, you know, try to catch them if you can. I'm definitely going to try to see them when they're at one of the LA shows. Yeah, I've never seen Adam Wakeman perform live, so this will definitely be a first for me, and that'll be very exciting. So I'm just sharing this around again. Okay, and of course, Rick Wakeman has been very busy. Let's see. Oh, okay, what was this? Oh, okay. There's an article over at loudersound.com. Yeah, we saying we got halfway through just before the solo and all the power goes off on stage. The night of Furious, Ray Davies cut a Yes set short. Wow, okay. Yeah, so that's an article that's out there. So go ahead and check that out. And I saw that Annie Haslam opened for Rick Wakeman at the Scottish Rite Auditorium. So seeing those two perform back-to-back, that must have been quite remarkable. And then over on Rick's website, there were these April 5th ramblings that he posted. Lots of music to prepare for a Strictly Wakeman performance in Wales with Dave Colquhoun replacing Adam, who will be away with Uriah Heep. So that the trio will now be myself, Haley, and Dave. On the 29th, I am one of the guests of Martin Darville, who manages Yes, at Loftus Road for the QPR versus Leeds game. Martin is an avid Leeds supporter, and Brian Lane, my manager, is an avid QPR supporter. Okay, so I guess that's going on today. And yeah, it's interesting. Whenever I hear QPR, I associate that with the video of the Yes concert from the Relayer tour, which of course does not have Rick Wakeman on it, so I kind of got a little like, had to do like a double take, like reread and be like, oh okay, that's okay. And he continues, looking ahead, the Christmas shows are now on sale and are already half sold, which is great. It will certainly be different with Adam and Molly joining me. Two sets of keyboards as well as the grand piano, plus a Christmas tree and either Adam or I dressed as an elf. Unlikely to happen, but who knows? And on April 23rd, Rick added a final three dates to the Yuletide Christmas show, with tickets for the new shows in London, Stoke, and Cheltenham going on sale this past Friday from the looks of it. So that should be a lot of fun. Yeah, like Rick, you know, such a busy person, and the fact that he's able to make time for all these different things, it's, yeah, I don't know how he does it. Okay, so let's look at the next news item on here. There is an article over at Louder Sound again. This is about the band Beat, which was somewhat of a King Crimson offshoot. And this article was in relation to Bill Bruford. So I'm just going to read what it says here. Adrian Belew has shed more light on the formation of Beat, the band he has formed with fellow King Crimson alumni Tony Levin, Tool drummer Danny Carey, and guitarist Steve Vai, and which Prague revealed back in March. The quartet have just announced a full North American tour for September, October, and November, in which they will be performing music from King Crimson's three 1980s albums, Discipline, Beat, and Three of a Perfect Pair. And there's a quote right here. In 2019, I began thinking about whether or not King... this is from Adrian. I began thinking about whether or not King Crimson might somehow tour to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Discipline, Beat, and Three of a Perfect Pair coming in 2021. Eventually, I decide to call Robert. I explain my thoughts and we have a good talk. He declines to be involved with many legitimate reasons, but says, if you want to drive it, Age, you have my support. I call Bill Bruford and blurt out, how would you like to be in a rock band again? Bill says, and do what? Sit around a luggage carousel all day? But he also gives the idea his blessing. So it's, I'm honestly really surprised that Bill was asked to be involved in that. You know, when he's been so firm on, you know, being retired, the only exception being when he was at that John Wetton tribute performance. But, you know, that was such a one-time thing, so I wouldn't expect it to be like the beginning of a, you know, a return to like full-on touring. So yeah, that was kind of surprising, but I do also appreciate that you know, he reached out to Bill, because, you know, on the very, very slim chance that he would want to be involved, you know, I thought it was a nice courtesy at the very least, but also kind of funny to think about given how firm Bill has been on his stance of staying retired. And of course, Bill has been posting these quizzes over on his social media, and his YouTube channel keeps on getting updated with some nice uploads involving Earthworks and King Crimson and other performances. So a real wonderful archive right there. And next up, we have Trevor Horn, a little bit of news. There's this post that said, join the Trevor Horn Band at Hampton Pool on Friday, the 5th of July for the opening night of the 2024 season of the Hampton Pool Summer Picnic Concerts. Tickets available now. And the other day, there's a post over on John Anderson's social media. Said, we are 5 weeks out from the start of the 2024 tour. Our first 22 shows are on sale with another leg of dates still to come. We look forward to seeing everybody on this year's Yes, Epics, Classics, and More tour, along with the band geeks. So that's gonna be a lot of fun. Yeah, I wasn't sure how many more dates there would be, so it's nice to know that there's going to be another lake of dates. And I mean, John and the Band Geeks have been so well received that, you know, it's a no-brainer there. And, you know, John Anderson's YouTube channel also gets updated from time to time. I'm just taking a peek at it real quick. Okay. Yeah, nothing within the last 2 weeks from the looks of it. But yeah, it looks like there's an upload of Toltec and of Open with lyrics. Interesting. So yeah, you know, there's enough Yes music to go around with Yes and with John and the Band Geeks and with the tribute bands as well. You know, Awaken with their recent run of 9012 live shows. Maybe they're still doing it. I'd have to check, but yeah, you can check them out over on their socials and Total Mass Retain as well. They've been doing. I saw they recently did a Chris Squire inspired set list, and then they're doing their Epics and you know, Yes Epics tour. I guess it is this summer, and then in the fall they're doing a John Anderson 80th birthday set list. So hopefully I didn't butcher any of that, but you can check out Total Mass Retain and their socials and their site and get all the details there. And close to the Yes, a Texas-based tribute band, they did a performance recently, but their first full-length show will be over in... this will be in August, yeah. I'm trying to look at the exact date. Okay, August 24th. Close to the Yes with special guest Clockwork Angels. Saturday, August 24th, 8:30 p.m. CDT. And yeah, this is the duration. Apparently 3.5 hours. So this will include Close to the Yes and Clockwork Angels. So... yeah, that should be a really fun night of prog right there. Yeah, so go to Close to the Yes USA over on Facebook, and they have an event right there, so you can keep yourself posted on that. So now we get to the, you know, the big thing. You know, all this stuff is really big stuff, of course, but what I mean is there's a lot that's been posted about this next thing that I'm going to talk about. Oh, I see a comment from how's that pronounced? Hello from Hamburg, Germany. Oh, wow. Thanks for tuning in. Now we get into the Asia of it all, and then we'll close out with Yes touring stuff. So there's this note from Carl Palmer. It was first passed along by Bruce Pilato, like on April 15th. Before we got the official Asia announcement. And then Carl had it posted on his social media after the Asia announcement. So he said, I recently became aware that my friend and bandmate Jeff Downs will be touring the U.S. this summer in a new lineup of Asia, of which he will be the only original member participating. As many of you know, I have also announced a tour for the Return of Emerson, Lake and Palmer project, which I first launched in the fall of 2022 with the cooperation of the Emerson and Lake families. My commitments to the ELP project have made it impossible for me to be part of this Asia tour. I wish Jeff the best of luck with his forthcoming tour, and I plan to eventually embrace the music of Asia again at some point in the future. Carl Palmer, London, UK, April 2024. So that note was very fascinating because it made me wonder, like, how much had Carl and Jeff talked about this, you know, before this decision came about? And, you know, within the last couple of years, there were a couple attempts at continuing Asia. So, you know, going back, so let's rewind a bit, a little recap. So John Wetton passed away several years ago, and then he asked Billy Sherwood to fill in for him. And then for the Royal Affair tour in 2019, you know, Billy was there, but on vocals was Bumblefoot. And I do think Bumblefoot was closer to the type of singing voice that they would want for the Asia material. And then, you know, after the lockdown and stuff, you know, after it came past all of that, there is going to be this new configuration, which we've had Mark Bonilla on vocals. And he sounds like he could do a really good, you know, that type of Wetton-esque singing voice. So we're really looking forward to that. But I think that tour got delayed / canceled a couple times because it was attached to this, you know, they're supposed to be touring with Alan Parsons, and Alan Parsons had health issues. You know, it was going to be like a double act type thing. You know, Alan Parsons act and then Asia, or maybe the other way around. I'm not sure of the order. But yeah, that was going to happen and then it didn't. And so it was kind of sad because it felt like Asia was up in the air. And of course, Yes had to take precedence. And from looking from the outside, it seemed like it would be difficult to plan Asia shows while Yes is in full force. And, you know, Jeff is committed to both Yes and Down's Braid Association. So working Asia into the mix seemed like it would be really tough. And on Carl Palmer's end, he had the, you know, the ELP Legacy band. And so to commit to that and Asia, and also figure out how to make the touring timing work. And also Carl Palmer's shows this summer, a couple of them are alongside John Anderson's show. So it's really interesting how that worked out. But yeah, it really felt like it was going to be really difficult to make everything work given the timing and the overlap in personnel. And that's partially been a reason why seemingly it's been tough to get Arc of Life to have some shows. And you know, when we talked to Dave Kirzner a few months ago, it sounded like there could potentially be some changes with Arc of Life in terms of personnel. And honestly, I think that could possibly, you know, I don't know all the details, but maybe that could potentially, maybe there will be a solution that will provide wiggle room so that if Arc of Life does continue, there could be shows and touring and whatnot. But yeah, as far as Asia and Yes, it's not that surprising that there's this change. And, you know, if Carl is going to commit to the ELP Legacy band or Asia, you know, he's got to carry the ELP torch. And, you know, I can't really, you know, it's very understandable, you know, can't really blame like this change. And Jeff, you know, he's been the consistent member of Asia. So that brings us to the Asia announcement. So I'm sure lots of you already know all this, but this was the announcement. Asia is absolutely delighted to announce the Heat of the Moment tour, headlined by Asia and also featuring Focus, Martin Turner, X, Wishbone Ash, and Curved Air, and emceed by artist Roger Dean. The tour will commence on the 3rd of July, 2024, and will incorporate 21 dates across the US and Canada. The tour has been masterminded by rock music keyboardist and original Asia member Jeff Downs, and will feature John Mitchell on lead guitar, Harry Whitley on lead vocals and bass, and Virgil Donati on drums. So before I continue reading that announcement, I had a feeling that if it wasn't going to be Mark Bonilla on vocals, it was perhaps going to be Harry Whitley. Because, you know, recently I told Dad on the show that Harry has done like really great Asia covers. So it was really no surprise to me that I just really want the Asia logo on my shirt to be visible. It was really no surprise to me that Harry got this role in this new lineup. So it's really cool to see him there. And there was speculation before we knew what the lineup would be. There was speculation that maybe Billy Sherwood and Jay Schellen would be involved again. Jay Schellen was actually involved with Asia toward the end of the Payne, you know, the John Payne era, before the reunion materialized. And then Jay was a member of Asia featuring John Payne, from what I understand, up until 2016, which would be about when he started filling in for Alan and Yes, and helping Alan out with the drumming load. So it would have been kind of interesting to see Jay in original Asia, as it's called, across their socials, you know, in that type of iteration with Jeff Downs and Billy. But I kind of think that maybe there, I don't know how much this influenced things, but, you know, with Arc of Life, there were a few Yes members in that. And so the perception of that band was kind of colored by some people who are like, oh, it's pretty much just Yes. Like, what's so different about this? But it is really different. The music is different. The style is different. And it doesn't need to be like Yes. But I could see how, you know, there are some people who, for some reason, kind of don't like too much overlap between these bands. So I do kind of wonder if that could have influenced the change in the lineup, like trying to make it more different than if Billy and Jay were involved. Or perhaps, and again, this is all speculation, perhaps another possible reason for this is that Billy and Jay are so committed to Yes right now. You know, why wouldn't they be? They've been doing really well with the touring and on the new albums. So it makes sense that, you know, maybe perhaps, I don't want to speak for them, but maybe they would feel that they need to focus most of their attention on Yes while this Asia thing is happening. So I guess Jeff, you know, he's kind of decided to focus on Yes, Asia, and Downs Braid Association, which, you know, those three, it's like such a huge load. I don't know how he does it, but I'll read this comment by Gilly Good News. So Virgil Donati started a famous Aussie band, Southern Sons, with vocalist Jack Jones, always on the radio, especially Heart in Danger. Okay. Yeah, so I'll continue reading this announcement. Jeff's brand new iteration of Asia first began to evolve last summer at the concert held in memory of late lead singer, songwriter, and bassist John Wetton. Jeff invited old friend John Mitchell and newcomer Harry Whitley to join him on stage to celebrate Wetton's life by performing some of the classic Asia hits. Such was the uproarious reception to their set that Downs wondered if something magical was beginning to take shape. Many people commented, if you close your eyes, you would think you were listening to the original Asia. Jeff commented, and so it was that the John Wetton tribute last August really reminded me how much Asia's music belongs on the stage. The response to it all was literally spine-tingling. The new look Asia will once again feature Mitchell on guitars and Whitley on lead vocal and bass. The quartet is made complete by the addition of Virgil Donati on drums, who played with John Wetton in UK. The tour will also feature sets from other classic acts, Focus, Martin Turner, X Wishbone Ash, and Curved Air. All three support acts boast their founder band leaders and have deservedly attained the status of legend. Jeff is excited to take Asia back out on the road and tells us, I'm convinced that John's spirit is with us as we set out on this new adventure. After all, it is the year of the dragon, just as it was in 1982 when we released our first Asia album. It's as though it was meant to be. Looking forward to seeing you there, my friends. Bring it on. Now, before I continue, I just want to make a little clarify something there. So the Year of the Dragon, around that time, it actually would have been 1988, and before then, 1976, I believe. So 1982 would have been like halfway between Years of the Dragon. So I kind of wonder if maybe Jeff misspoke here, and he's actually trying to say this year is the year of the dragon, just like how there's a dragon on the first Deja album. You know, maybe that's what he meant and it came out differently. But yeah, you know, the 40th anniversary Asia tour was supposed to be the thing that would happen in 2022, and then 2023 got pushed back. And I do kind of wish we could have seen that Mark Bonilla lineup, but you know, as things are, I'm glad that Asia is still pushing forward, and they got Harry and these and Virgil and John Mitchell. I think it's a really solid idea, and also you know, it for the people who don't like the overlap for whatever reason and band members, it does feel distinct from Yes and Arc of Life and whatnot. So there's also a note from John Wetton's wife, Lisa. So her statement says, "When my beloved husband, John Wetton, realized that he was coming to the end of his life, he revealed in earnest the wish for his musical legacy to be upheld by those who were closest to him. Consequently, and with great passion, Jeff Downes has been at the forefront of keeping that wish alive by touring the music of Asia throughout the past 7 years. Last August, Jeff brought together an amazing group of musicians to present the best of Asia at the John Wetton tribute concert in England. The show was the moving final set of a five-hour evening, and it was the first time the outside world would hear the phenomenal Harry Whitley on lead vocals. Most everyone, including myself, was stunned by Harry's evocative voice, which shares an eerily similar tonal quality to that of John Wetton. Jeff introduced Whitley to a wider audience, and we all knew this would be the start of something very special, a new chapter for Asia. At least that is what many of us who saw the tribute had hoped. Fast forward 9 months, and the musical legacy continues as Jeff Downes, along with Harry Whitley on lead vocals and bass, John Mitchell from the John Wetton Band, Wetton Downes' icon, It Bites, Lonely Robot, Kino, Frost, Arena on guitar, and Virgil Donati of Planet X and Ring of Fire on drums, takes Asia music to the U.S. East Coast along the legends Focus, Martin Turner, X Wishbone Ash, and Curved Air. It would be easy for me to dismiss Asia without its other band members, proclaiming that it's not really the band, so there's no point in them going on. There's a problem with this statement. John Wetton himself would have endorsed this tour, as he wanted the music to live on. He would have wanted the name to remain as long as Jeff leads the way. Changing the name would go against John's wishes. This is still Asia, and the current group have worked closely with Jeff Downes to respect the integrity of the music. I have seen it and feel comfortable with this current lineup. Everyone you will see on the stage, aside from Harry, has worked with John in different projects. John Mitchell was a member of the John Wetton Band and Icon, and was also a close friend. Virgil performed on different occasions as a touring drummer in UK. The current lineup gives the music a fresh energy, which I haven't experienced since John was alive. I'm personally thrilled to get behind this tour, and I know you will be thrilled too. Please support the legacy by coming to a show near you." And so, yeah, that's quite the endorsement there. And, you know, I'm personally excited to see how this lineup does the material. It doesn't look like they're coming anywhere near me or Dad, at least in this leg that's been announced. And again, you know, going back to Carl Palmer's note earlier, where he says he hopes to embrace the music of Asia again in the future, it makes me wonder if this lineup might be a temporary situation, and perhaps there could be plans for Carl to come back in the future, or if maybe Carl could do, like, I don't know, one-off, like some sort of side or solo thing that includes Asia's music, or maybe do an Asia song as an encore at something. So I don't know. It really does make me wonder. But yeah, the Heat of the Moment tour begins July 3rd in Ridgefield, Connecticut, and ends on July 31st in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It says here, VIP packages are now available for all shows on the Heat of a Moment tour. And the package features one premium reserve ticket located in the first 10 rows, VIP early entry into the venue, VIP access to Asia's pre-show soundcheck with Jeff Downs, Thijs Van Leer, Martin Turner, and Sonia Christina. A collectible tour poster autographed by Asia, specially designed Asia tour shirt, commemorative laminate and lanyard, exclusive Asia VIP merchandise item, limited availability. Details may be subject to change. If you have any questions about the VIP package, please email info@onemoretimevip.com. So, yeah, looks like they're really going all in on this. Gilly chimes in saying Deep Purple single is Portable Door, very rocky, gallops along. Okay, yeah. Thanks for letting me know, Gilly. And like I said, I'll touch on Yes and Deep Purple, like that news, in a little bit after going over this Asia stuff. There's still a bit I want to talk about here. Let me just take care of this real quick. Okay. So with that summer tour happening, there's actually also another Asia related thing happening. You know, I mentioned earlier, you know, in 2006 or thereabouts, there was the split. You know, John Payne was with Jeff Downs in Asia for quite a long time, from the early 90s to the mid 2000s. And then they had a split. So they made this agreement where Jeff Downs would continue with the original Asia lineup. And that has evolved into what we're seeing now with the Heat of the Moment tour. And meanwhile, John Payne has toured as Asia featuring John Payne with various musicians involved. So he has this upcoming tour, the ARIA 30th Anniversary Tour. Says next month it will be 30 years since the release of the Asia studio album ARIA. So starting May 18th, we will commence on the ARIA 30th Anniversary Tour. We will feature songs from the album alongside the Asia classics. Asia ARIA was recorded in 1994 at Park Gate Studios in Hastings, Sussex, UK. It was a labor of love for the Downs Payne and the second Asia album with Payne on vocals. More dates to be announced. And yeah, I'm looking at this, like the tour dates. And yeah, I was a little concerned that maybe there would be, you know, one of my fears was that there would be perhaps too much overlap and, you know, like something similar to the Yes and ARW situation, with confusion from fans who might not know which band they're seeing. And, you know, part of that is down to the promoters, right? Like the promoters have to know which band they're having and which lineup it is and what picture to use. But comparing the tour dates side by side, it doesn't look like there's too much overlap. I'm just making sure I have these open so I can get a better look at them. Okay, so okay, so the John Payne one, you know, the ARIA 30th tour. So that begins in Laughlin, Nevada on May 18th, and then goes to Monterrey, Mexico a week after. And then you got a few dates in the mid-US and the East Coast, and before it's taken to Belgium and then Canada. And so, okay, so let me start with the states that they have in common. So Connecticut, you have the Heat of the Moment tour in Ridgefield on July 3rd. That's the beginning of that tour. And then the ARIA tour doesn't come to Connecticut until 10 days after that. So Mohegan Sun. So I feel like that's a good enough amount of time between, you know, I guess 10 days might seem relatively short to some, but I feel like there's enough breathing room there. So I think that's quite nice. And then I think Massachusetts is another one these have in common. Heat of the Moment tour is in Medford, Massachusetts on July 6th. And then the ARIA tour is in Barnstable, Massachusetts on July 27th. So that's about a 3-week gap. So that's even better, in my opinion. And then, let's see. I know there's another state that they had in common. Tennessee is another one. So the Heat of the Moment tour gets to Tennessee on July 17th in Nashville. And meanwhile, the ARIA tour gets to Tennessee on, or not Tennessee, or Tennessee, Nashville as well on September 14th. So that's a 2-month gap right there. And then that's back in Massachusetts, West Springfield, September 18th. The ARIA tour has some sporadic dates spread out from May to December. So I feel like there's not too much overlap, which, you know, was something that I was like really worried could be the case. So I think as long as people, you know, the fans and the promoters, as long as everyone's on the same page of which Asia they're seeing, like, I don't think there should be too much of a problem. And I do like that Asia featuring John Payne, you know, that whole thing is celebrating the ARIA album, because the Payne era of Asia, there's great music there. And if anyone's going to celebrate it, you know, John Payne has the right to. And I believe he did a celebration of Aqua a couple of years ago. So, you know, the music of ARIA, you know, that's got to get some play as well. Like, because, like, who else is going to do it? You know, maybe there are some tribute things I'm not aware of. But yeah, I think it's nice that there's variety, at least. You know, each band gets to touch on different eras, and there might be a little overlap in terms of the Asia staples, but I still think the set lists will be different enough, so you'd be getting two different experiences. And of course, there's a personnel as well. That's a component that makes things different. Adam Parrish says, I wish that the Asia tour was coming to the UK. Yeah, like at this point, we don't really have a good idea of what's happening after this US leg with this particular Asia lineup that's doing the Heat of the Moment tour. So again, I do wonder whether that lineup would take this to the UK and Europe. Like, I kind of wonder if there are plans for that, or if they're testing the waters here first in the US. But yeah, I would like for them to go to UK and Europe and other places if possible, because, you know, I live in the US and I love seeing this music, but I want other people to be able to experience this music as well in the live setting. And again, like, I don't even know if they'll come to my neck of the woods, because it looks like the furthest on this leg is Wisconsin. But if they do play anywhere near me or near Dad, like, I'd definitely love to see them. So yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say on the Asia front. You know, it's really big news, and I'm glad there's finally, you know, a continuation of what stemmed from the original Asia reunion, because, you know, that was up in the air and it was kind of a question mark whether there would be a continuation. It would have been kind of sad to see it fizzle out with the canceled 40th anniversary tour dates. So it's nice that this run of shows is happening. And it seems like Carl and Jeff, you know, they're on good terms. You know, Carl wishing Jeff the best and open to re-embracing the music of Asia in the future. So, yeah, really interesting stuff going on. So now we finally get to the Yes touring news, which I'm sure all of you already know, because it's been a while since we've done this, this news desk episode type thing. So Yes are touring with Deep Purple. And this made it even funnier when, you know, for April 1st, we had Kevin and Mark of Yes Music podcast on our show. And we were saying, oh, remember when Yes played Smoke on the Water? And that was like way before this announcement came. So like in hindsight, it makes that episode even funnier. But yeah, over on Yes World, it says Yes have announced they will tour with Deep Purple this summer, launching August 14th in Hollywood, Florida, and wrapping September 8th in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Tickets and VIP packages go on sale, or they've been on sale for a couple weeks now. So yeah, that begins in Hollywood, Florida, and Scranton, Pennsylvania. So it doesn't look like this is going to be in my neck of the woods either, or in Dad's. But yeah, it's an interesting combination because I feel like Deep Purple's sound is closer to mainstream classic rock. So Yes, if Yes are ever touring with another act, I usually expect it to be with another prog act. You know, over the years, you've had instances of them touring with Asia, Kansas, Styx. So I think they toured with Peter Frampton once. And, you know, I'm talking like in 21st century. Obviously, like decades back, it was kind of eclectic, some of the bands, especially early on. I saw an article over on Louder Sound where Steve Howe reflected on touring with Jethro Tull and how they seem to get along very well. So that's a fascinating article as well. So from what I've been hearing is that I believe Yes are opening and then Deep Purple are playing. So I think this kind of continues a trend where, you know, last year we had Roger Dean opening for Yes with his really insightful lecture about his art. And I guess Roger's involved with the aforementioned Heat of the Moment Asia tour. And yeah, so I'm wondering, like, how will the set list runtime be for each band, and will it be enough or what? Yes Music Podcast had an interesting discussion about all of this recently. And I think one of the interesting points brought up was, you know, maybe a shorter set could be more of Yes's speed these days, and they'll be able to really narrow down like how it is they want to do the set, what they want to include, what they must play. And, you know, there will be fans of both acts coming to these things. So it'll be interesting to see like how they mesh, and, you know, maybe we'll get some new fans coming to over to Yes fandom who are only familiar with Deep Purple, you know, which would be nice. And maybe vice versa, maybe some Yes fans will become Deep Purple fans. Dad is more well-versed with Deep Purple's catalog than I am, to be honest. But yeah, I do quite like Deep Purple from the material I've heard. Yeah, I do have a copy of Machine Head, and I've probably heard a few other songs here and there. So I think it could be an interesting combination. Again, they're not coming to a venue near me, but I'm sure we'll get to hear like what people's various experiences are. And I think there also might be VIP packages. I meant to look this up earlier because I thought I heard something about it, but yeah, I guess you can look up the tour dates at yesworld.com/live and see what the options are for each individual venue. And yeah, this leg is from mid-August to mid-September. So curious to see what they do after that. And of course, Yes have started their UK and Europe leg of the Classic Tales of Yes tour. They did a warm-up show over at Tavistock. And I've heard mixed things from different people. You know, I wasn't at the show, obviously, but I've heard mixed things. You know, some people really liked it, others enjoyed it, but had critiques here and there. And this is a moment in the show where if you don't want to know what the set list was, then you can tune out and, you know, come back later after you've experienced the show. And again, this is a warm-up gig. That's the only set list we know for this particular leg. Their next gig is either today or tomorrow, I think. Okay, yeah, tomorrow the 30th. So maybe there will be slight differences for all we know when they perform in Portugal. Okay, the warm-up gig is the only one that's in the UK. Okay, and then the rest is throughout Europe. Oh, and then they go back to London in June. Okay. Or late May, rather. Okay, yeah. So they'll be coming back to England after these other places in Europe. So if you don't want set list spoilers, then see you next time. And maybe go to Forgotten Yesterdays if you do get curious or whatever. But yeah, I'm going to say what the set list is right now. So there was a slight difference in the running order of the set list compared to how it was when they were here in the U.S. a few months ago. Apparently, it began with A Young Person's Guide to Orchestra. And again, I'm going off of Forgotten Yesterdays. They opened with Machine Messiah, so that's very strong. And then It Will Be a Good Day. Again, they dug that up last year. First time in a long time. It was a nice surprise. And then going for the one, I've Seen All Good People. America, the instrumental version. Time and a Word, Don't Kill the Whale, Turn of the Century, South Side of the Sky, Cut from the Stars, Excerpts from Tales from Topographic Oceans, Roundabout, and Starship Trooper. You know, I got the impression from recent interviews that Cut from the Stars might be the only Mirror to the Sky song they've played on this tour. I do hope that they include more Mirror to the Sky songs over time, but you know, I feel like they've probably set in stone like what they feel comfortable playing. Gilly Goodnews, chiming in again, says, bring back All Connected and do Mirror to the Sky. Yeah, I remember hearing that they played All Connected on the first show of the U.S. League last year. Maybe that was also a warm-up gig. So I guess they tried that, and then maybe they perhaps felt that they hadn't quite nailed it down, so Cut from the Stars is the only one that made the cut. But yeah, that's a good song. Like, they're both good songs, but I do prefer All Connected. And the Mirror to the Sky epic, like, that would be so incredible to see live. In fact, imagine if for the tour of Deep Purple, like, imagine if a good chunk of the set was Mirror to the Sky. I would be very happy for that. But yeah, it is what it is. And, you know, like, we'll just have to see like what else happens in the future. They have been saying that they're working on a new album. If I were to bet when it might come out, you know, based on previous releases and activities and, you know, the label, I would guess maybe October at the earliest. But, you know, that's speculation. I don't have a frame of reference for that. And that's going to, you know, we'll just have to see when that comes out. And yeah, so lots of stuff happening, and we'll just have to see what the future brings, as I guess I always say. So thank you all for tuning in. There was a lot to cover in this news episode. I know it's been a long time coming, all month, but glad we're finally able to do this. And Adam chimes in with an interesting bit of speculation. I'm thinking that the orchestrations on Mirror to the Sky might be the reason that more songs aren't included in the set list. That's an interesting point. Maybe that could be another factor. But yeah, I do hope that the band members know that, like, a good chunk of their fans would love to see the newer material in the live setting. Like, I hope they know that. We do love the classics, but I love when the band takes chances with the newer material personally. But yeah, whenever they're in my neck of the woods, I'll see them again, whenever that may be. So yeah, thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back. Me and Dad will be talking with Miguel Falcao on May 7th at 8:30 a.m. Pacific time. And we might be having someone else on May 9th at 9 a.m. Pacific. So yeah, I'll just leave that as a tease there. And of course, as it gets closer, there will be posts and whatnot. So till next time, see you all later.